Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. My devotional message for this morning is entitled, Look to Me Continually. Amen. And the scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 34, verses 4 through 6, where it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him as are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Psalms 105, verse 4, and it says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Praise God. And my third scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. And it says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Again, the title is Look to Me Continually for Help, Comfort, and Companionship. Because I am always by your side, the briefest glance can connect you with me. When you look to me for help, it flows freely from my presence. This recognition of your need for me in small matters as well as in large ones keep you spiritually alive. When you need comfort, I love to enfold you in my arms. I enable you not only to feel comforted, but also to be a channel through whom I comfort others. Thus you are doubted doubly blessed, because a living channel absorbs some of whatever flows through it. My constant companionship, the resistance, the submit of salvation blessings. No matter what loses you experience in your life, no one can take away this glorious gift. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was on to me. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God is worthy.
Amen. Praise be to God. And while we are waiting on our speaker for this morning, I would like to say good morning to Father God. Amen. By the Wiki Tones. Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise be to God. Good morning, Lord. Amen. So now, at this time, the Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. Now at this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a wonderful word from God. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed, Evangelist Hilda. How are you this morning?
Blessed. Thank you. Praise be to God.
Amen. Praise
yes.
God.
Yes.
I'm telling you, just thank God for another Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Every time you look around, it looks like the week goes so fast.
It does. Yeah. It really
yeah.
does.
The week goes so fast, and before you know it, it's Saturday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a wonderful day, Saturday.
Amen. Yes.
Saturday.
It's a bit noisy outside, though.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of chilly out there.
Yes.
It is. It's chilly. You know, I have the windows open right now. I'm going to have to get somebody to close those windows for me.
Yeah.
Because it's getting chilly. I can feel the chilliness. You know,
you and me both. I put all the windows down, but I have the terrace door open. But you know, it's too noisy out there. So I have to
close. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We're so glad to have you on board. We always like to acknowledge you. Just like we acknowledge God, because I know that God have you here for a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
That you're here listening this morning. Amen. So we're so happy to have you. And I just want to let you know that our visionary, Apostle Wiggins, and his lovely wife, Lady Nadine, they send you their blessings and their love. Amen.
Amen.
I just hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen. Praise God. And all of us hope that all is well with you and your family. And I just want to talk about Evangelist Hilda and what she's doing here on HMC Ministries, how she's opening up the program so many days a week from Tuesday to Saturday. She opens up HMC Ministry program, and she also brings Sweet Hour of Prayer, and on Thursday and Friday she brings a sermon. Amen.
Amen.
So you don't want to miss it. Amen. Evangelist Hilda. Now, we thank God for her faithfulness to God and to this program. Amen. We just thank God for her. And we thank God for Sister Barbara. She's going to be on right after this program with some beautiful
yes.
poetry. And she comes on Wednesday with a lesson. That have to do with scripture. Amen. She comes
Amen.
On with a lesson. And also our First Lady, Nadine, she brings a lesson on Tuesday. Amen.
Amen.
So we just thank God for them. Amen. And we thank God for, we thank God for Pastor Kathy and her husband, Pastor Stephen. We thank God for them. She's going to be on right after Sister Barbara brings her poetry. She's going to be on with Talk in the Sanctuary.
Amen.
And we have so many different topics going on. She comes on and brings a lot of different topics that we talk about. So I know that you don't want to miss that. Amen. Praise God. And I also want to give a shout out to Prophetess Washington, a shout out to Dr. V. Turner, and Apostle Jackson. I hope it all is well with them and their families. They've been a blessing to this ministry. Amen. And we hope that all is well with them and their families and also their congregations. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now, you know what I'm going to talk about. I'm turning my attention to the Most High God, Ahayah. Amen. That's his name forever. It's in the scriptures, amen, that is his name forever, Ahayah. But it comes under I am that I am. His
amen.
Name is I am that I am. But in Hebrew, it's Ahayah, amen.
Praise
so
God.
We're
going
to turn our attention to him this morning. And wherever you are, you could be in the four corners of the earth. Amen. I'm not going to name all the different countries, but when you say four corners of the earth, that covers a lot of territory. Amen. And so wherever you are, amen, and you're hearing the sound of my voice, we're all going to come together as one. Amen. Because when Yeshua comes back, he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to say this prayer to God Most High, to Father God Most High, to Ahayah. I'm going to say this prayer, and then I'm going to sing a song to Ahayah. Amen. A praise
Amen.
And worship song. I'm going to sing
Amen.
To him. Amen. Because we haven't been hearing that name a lot, and so we want you know, whoever don't know that's his name, we want to spread that is his name, Ahayah. Amen. So I'm going to say this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Abba Father, you are great and greatly to be praised. There is none like you in all the heavens and the earth. You sit on the circle of the earth, and your eyes penetrate the outer darkness, and there's nothing hid from you. Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your prophets, your inspired word, and your only begotten Son, Yeshua. For we have seen him. When we've seen him, we've seen you. Father God, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for never giving up on us, even when we've fallen short of your glory. We thank you for choosing us from the foundations of the world. For you foreknew us, you called us, you ordained us, you justified us, and you glorified us. And most of all, we thank you for Yeshua and the ushering in of grace. Your grace is sufficient and your mercy endureth forever. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love. Amen. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness towards us. We thank you for your promise of eternal life. We love and appreciate you.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Most of all, Father, we thank you for eternal life. Amen. Praise God. So right now I'm going to sing a song to Father God. Amen.
Amen.
The Father God Most High. I'm going to sing a song to him. And I know that you probably don't know this song. It's just a praise and worship song that have been put on my heart for him. And wherever you are, you could be in this country or any other part of the world, but I'm going to sing this song to God. Amen. Because without him, we can do nothing. We know nothing. We are nothing. We can't breathe without him. We wouldn't even be here without him. Amen. He's the creator.
Yes, he is.
Amen. And for so long, some names we've called him is not the right name. We don't realize it yet. We're just learning that now. But it's been investigated. They have documents that some of the names we're calling is not him. And I believe that's why sometime when we pray, he doesn't even respond. He said, what's that?
Oh, wow.
What is that? Can you imagine somebody calling you out of your name? Your name is supposed to be, I don't know, Jane. Oh, you know, and they're calling you Patricia. You're not going to respond. You, after a while, you say, well, what does he say in scripture? He says, my people, there's a lack of knowledge. My people have a lack of knowledge. You know, and it's true. We have a lack of knowledge because the devil have been working a lot more than we know. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, anyway, I'm going to sing this song to Father God.
Amen.
God, I'll put this song on my heart. So just bear with me on this song. Amen. Praise God. Just listen to the words of the song. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, the Most High, we honor and adore you and bow down before you. We give you praise, the highest praise. We give you praise, the highest praise. A higher, the Most High. We honor and adore you and bow down before you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We magnify your holy name. The Most High, we honor and adore you and bow before you. We give you all the praise, the highest praise. We magnify, glorify, we worship you. We worship you. We worship your holy name. A higher, a higher, a higher, a higher. Amen.
Amen.
So we worship his holy name. Amen. A higher. The Most High God. That is his correct name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And he says anything else is not right. Amen. Because he says, this is my name forever. One name, a higher. Amen.
Praise
so right
God.
Now, I'm getting ready to go into the scriptures. And I'm going into what I talked about last week. Amen. But before I do that, I'm going to pray. Father God, Most High, I just thank you, thank you, thank you for another opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today.
Yes.
Amen. Father God, I thank you that we're really getting to know who you are. We knew who you are before. We thought in our heart we was talking to the right person. You know what I mean? But you know our heart. So you just winked at us because you know, you knew that what we were doing was not correct. But you winked at us because you know our heart. So, Father God, we thank you for that in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father God, as I go forth with this word today, I ask you to protect the word as it goes into their spirit, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So as I go forth today with the leading of the Holy Spirit, may it be all of you and none of me. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. So I'm in Psalm 91, and Psalms 91, I believe it's 1 to 12, but I have to check it and make sure. 1 to 16, amen. I said it last week, but I'm going to say it again, because this is a scripture that, you know, you really like to hear. Amen.
Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Mm-hmm. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust it. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor fight for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Amen.
Amen.
Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I will set him on high, because he has known my name.
Amen.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.
Be to God.
So we thank God for that scripture. That was beautiful. That scripture is a beautiful scripture.
Amen.
Amen. So now I'm getting ready to go into this word. Amen. Praise God. One moment. So I was talking about the Israelites. Amen. And how what happened, how they came into being with God, and how God was protecting them and hovering over them as his people, his chosen people. Amen.
Amen.
And this week I said I was going to go into the contrast, you know, of because they turned their backs on God. They went after idols, the idols of the heathen, the idols of the Gentiles, the pagans. They went after those idols. Amen. Because the Gentiles, the pagans, and the heathen were not under God, but the Israelites were. They were under God's government. Amen.
Amen.
And the pagans, the heathens, and the Israel, the Gentiles, they were under the devil. Amen. Because when the devil was fallen, when what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? In the Garden of Eden, the devil came in. You know what I mean? He tempted them and everything.
Yes.
And so when they was disobedient to God, then he became the god of this world. But you see, we're not in the world. God have left us in the world, but we're not of the world. If you're in God's kingdom, you're not in the world. If you're an Israelite, you're not in the world. Amen.
Amen.
You're not in the world. So now I'm going into the contrast, see, of how God went from favor to disfavor of his chosen people, the Israelites, how he went from favor to disfavor. So in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, he, God, is the rock. His deeds are perfect, and everything that he does is just and fair. Amen.
Amen.
So now we're the contrast is where we start. Here we see a picture of Israel who became fat and unruly. See, they grew heavy and plump and stuffed. You see, because God, whatever they wanted, God was giving it to them. Everything, the fat of the land, everything. You know what I'm saying? He was just showering stuff on them because he looked on them as his chosen people, and they looked on him as their God until they started looking over on the other side where they thought the grass was greener. Amen. You know, like some of us today,
we have it
really going on. You know what I mean? When we look over there and we think it's better over there than it is over here. You know what I'm saying? The grass looks greener over there. You know what I mean? But sometimes you're holding on to the real thing. You don't realize it. You don't you're holding on to the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I mean? So they got spoiled. God spoiled them, really. You know what I mean? They began to take God for granted. That's what they did. So then they abandoned the God that had made them. They made light of the rock of their salvation. See? Mm-hmm. They made light of him. You know what I mean? That's how we do sometimes with people that's really good to us. We do the same thing. Sometimes the people that's good to us, we treat them the worst. We do.
Yeah,
and those people that don't mean us any good, and laughing and saying,
treat
some
them
good
so
flattering
nice.
Things to you, and you think they're better than what you got. And sometimes what you got is the diamond, you know, a jewel, and you don't realize it. You see, until you get over there and you said, "Oh my God, you know something? I let go of what I had.
Yes,
and got junk." You know what I mean? I let go of what I got. So now that he had cared for them and given them everything that they needed and desired, they had no need for him, a hire. They had no need for a hire. They didn't really love him anyway. They wanted him for what they could get. What he could give them.
Sounds familiar.
Does this sound like some of us today?
Yes.
Do you love God for what he can give you? Think about it. You know? Do you love God? Do you love him for what he can give you? We see that God's jealousy was stirred up because Israel was worshiping foreign gods or other gods that they did not know, and they provoked his fury with detestable deeds. Nothing gets God more riled up than when you put other gods, other people, other things before him. How many of you out there know that he wants to be first and foremost in our lives?
That's right.
Otherwise, he becomes jealous.
Mm-hmm.
See? God is like a lover. He's a lover, the lover of your soul. And he becomes jealous over you. He hovers over you like he did the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
He does this to the Israelites, and he also does this to people that comes into his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's Gentiles that are coming into his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, God is a lover. He's a, like I said before, he's a lover of our soul. Your spirit, your soul, and your body belong to God because your body is the temple of the living God.
Amen.
See? And God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. Amen.
Amen.
Because when we die, we still live. We live on to eternal life.
Mm-hmm, yes.
He's the God of the living. All right, let's get back to the Israelites. Amen. So, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 17, they offered sacrifices to demons. Israel neglected the rock, the God who had given them birth and fathered them. The Lord says here that he saw all of what was happening. He saw their heart. See, God sees our heart. He looks in on our heart and their attitude towards him. This attitude was expressed in their actions. And so they drew back. So he drew back his pleasant feelings towards Israel. And this was replaced with jealousy and anger.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was replaced with jealousy, but with anger. God started to get angry with them. See?
Mm-hmm.
He became angry with his sons and his daughters. They provoked him to anger. He also removed his protection over them. Did you hear what I said? God removed his protection over Israel.
Yeah.
His refuge, his hiding place, he removed it. And now they were in the open. They were out in the open. So you know when God removes everything from you and you're out in the open, then you'll pray for the enemy. You'll pray for the devil. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
They were exposed to any predator looking for prey. God took his shield off of Israel, and they were no longer. In verse 20, God says, I will abandon them, then see how they do without me, their creator.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yeah.
He said, "See, let's see how they do without their creator." God called them a twisted generation, children without integrity. Let's take a moment and look at the word integrity. It means that they lacked honesty. You see, God was looking for their honesty. He wanted their genuine love, commitment, their loyalty. And that's what he's looking for in us today, our love, our loyalty towards him. God loved Israel, and he made a promise to their forefathers. He was also honest and genuine with them.
Yes.
You see, but they wasn't honest with him.
That's right.
You see? Mm-hmm. But they continued to worship those dumb idols mm-hmm. that could not feel. Mm-hmm. Those mm-hmm. idols could not taste, smell, speak, or see. They were dumb, silent. And I'm telling you something, those dumb idols, that's where the demons came. They came into those idols. That's what demons do. You know, every now and then they'll come in to those idols. You see, they could be filled with demons and evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
See? So God decided to provoke Israel's jealousy and anger by making a new covenant that would open the way for the Gentiles to come into his kingdom.
Amen.
And that covenant stands today. Amen.
God,
that covenant stands today.
Mm-hmm.
God also continued to say what he was going to do to Israel in his wrath. You see? He kept saying what he's going to do to Israel. And I always say this every time I talk about this. I said he kept opening his arms to Israel. And I kept saying, you know what? After a while, I got tired. Because he kept saying, what are you going to do to Israel? Then he said, but my arms are still open to you. My arms are open wide to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this mm-hmm. went on and went on and on, went on. And I said, gee, I'm getting tired. I said, they better be glad that I'm not God. I was getting tired. I said, well, what? You keep saying, well, I'm finished with Israel. Then you open up your arms, but my arms are open wide to you. You know what I mean? But you know, God is long-suffering.
That's right.
He's long-suffering. Amen. So I'm going to stop here, and I'll continue with it next week, and I turn it back into the hands of Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap. Praise. So before Apostle Mother Wiggins come with the call to salvation and the benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Good morning, Miss Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Miss Hilda. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you, Mother?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Interesting
Amen.
Message to us. Thank you
Amen.
For that. Amen. Thank God there's only one God. He never gets
I'm
tired.
Telling you.
Amen.
Amen. Mm. You let me know when he gets tired now.
Oh, yes,
all
I
right.
you.
That's true.
Amen. All right, so I'm going to be reading a poem from my book, The Profundity of God, The Spiritual Anthology in Poetry. And this one is entitled, Is That What I Must Do? Love. Love, love, love. And so that's what you say life's all about. You went to university. You got degrees, a BA, in fact, in getting along with others, a master's degree in peace. And finally, you earned a PhD in loveology. How did you do it? Explain that to me. Most of the subjects were difficult. You passed them all with A's, never a B. Here are a few of the highlights to earning a loveology degree. For your haters, love them. For your doubters, love them. For the naysayers, love them. Do that for the players and scandalizers too. For the ones who want to see you fail and fall down, you got to love even them, boo-boo. For your detractors, love them. For your malefactors, love them. And for those who say they love you and don't mean it and you know it's really not true, you've got to be bigger than that. Don't let a spat or negative energy turn you against an entire neighborhood. Don't do that. So if you're attempting to acquire your crown and glory by following Jesus Christ, then follow him. I believe you know his story. You have to be real. Can't be a phony in your heart. You have to be real. You might be able to fool me, even others, but God knows. Believe me, God knows your heart. He knows each and every part.
Yes.
So now, if you draw nigh to Jesus and you desire Jesus to draw nigh to you, if you truly follow Jesus, love like Jesus, and be true. One day, you will earn your PhD in loveology. Get it. Go on. Pursue. You will have earned stars, jewels, and gems in your crown, too. So love, 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 love. That's required and a prerequisite here. See what it does for you and to you. Don't delay. Love. There'll be no regrets. And it is so. Amen. Selah.
Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful.
Love, oh. Love, love.
God is love. Amen.
It's required.
And love your enemy. Love all those that despitefully use you, those that backbite against you, love them.
That's right.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know? Yeah, I was watching something, but you know what I mean? That's one thing about our religion, that we're taught love, we're taught that God is love. But there's other religions where if you don't join their religion, they will torture you and all kind of stuff. You know what I mean? But God gives you a free will to come in. You know what I mean? He doesn't make you come into his kingdom. You know what I mean?
Nope. That's right.
You decide whether you want to come in or not. You know what I mean? He doesn't make you. You know what I'm saying? Come into his kingdom. That's go ahead.
If I
could just add,
not to cut
I'm
you sorry? Off, but if I could add, he doesn't make you come, but he draws you.
That's right. He does. He draws you. The Holy Spirit convicts you in your heart.
Something that is so compelling that if you know anything about him, about his love, his kindness, his grace, his mercy, you're compelled, you're drawn to want to be close to him, to have him in your life.
That's right.
And that's what I reject that.
That's right. Amen. I that was beautiful. That was a beautiful poem. Amen.
It is.
Praise God. So right now I'm getting ready to have a call to anyone who wants to come into God's kingdom. This is your time now. Amen. All you have to do is say this short, say these words after me. Amen. To be able to come into his kingdom. Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Christ, our Savior, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Christ, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart and I confess him as Lord and Savior over my life.
I now take him into my heart, and I confess him as Lord and Savior over my life.
Amen. Now, if there's any of you out there that have said this short prayer, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. When you said that, something happened. Amen. Mm-hmm. Something happened when you said that. The Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you. Amen. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. Now, if you don't have a church to go to, a church home, just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place where you can hear the word, where you can mature and grow and have fellowship with other believers.
Amen.
So again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
So, as it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, oh, how great are God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge, how impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is extended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen.
Amen.
So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we ask it one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen. That's a beautiful chapter, 11, 33 through 36. I love those verses.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Did she say something?
For what was that?
This
Romans,
is Romans
11.
Romans 11.
Yes, 33 through 36.
Thank you. Yes, I agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amen. So,
amen.
Now at this time, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come with our talk in the sanctuary. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Yeah.
God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this morning?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome. Thank you. I'm in the car. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this talk. It is a wonderful day. It's nice and cool. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. My grandson just got up and went off to the game, and he was going up to the game going, oh, I got to go to practice. Oh, buddy, it's a game. Practice, no, game. So we saw him go off, and I know he was looking back saying, I know y'all going to be there. No, not today, son. Grandma, be down. Good morning, everyone. You know, when you say that, well, maybe not you guys. I feel like Robin Williams, but he used to go, good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
Got to wake everybody up and get everybody all excited about another day.
That's right.
You know, and over there, when you're in the armed forces, you need all the excitement you can get. So, you know, that was his way of getting everybody excited, pumped up. It's a new day. We're still here. And some of the Army guys, they was like, yeah, we are still here. You know, they wasn't excited, but after a while, they got used to seeing him, and it was a ray of sunshine to all of them to have someone bring that kind of cheer to them on a daily basis.
Amen.
Especially when you're over there in the war, and even though it was a TV show, that's the real ordeal. That's real. I remember when Bob Hope and other comedians used to really go over to those places where they were having the war, whatever the war was, they were trying to bring sunshine to them. Sitting there having to eat meals out of a bag or, you know, cook fresh food all the time, and it wasn't happening back then. I want to say I feel like we're there now. Even though we're not in wartime, we need people to bring a ray of sunshine to this world right now.
Yes.
It's so gloomy, you know? We need people waking up going, "Good morning, America!" But we need that because people are getting, I take that back. Hold that thought, y'all. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you, oh God. Thank you for waking us up this morning, closing our right minds, divine healing within our bodies, oh God. You saw fit to allow us to see another day. And for that, we say thank you, God. We honor you. We glorify you. We are so grateful. Even on this morning, on Agatha turned 87 years old, her husband a couple of months ago turned 91 years old, and we celebrate them. We celebrate them, oh God. I'm telling you, some people are not making it to that age. And when they get to be that age and they still have their full faculties, we say thank you, God.
Thank you. Thank you,
you know,
Father.
We want to hear some of the good stories. We want to be able to celebrate people while they're yet alive, oh God. And so we thank you for the Spencer family from Nassau, Bahamas. Thank you for all of them. Thank you for all of us. And you
thank you, Father.
Great life to each and every day. We don't take it lightly because there's so many that didn't wake up this morning. And because we saw fit to allow us another day, we can't help but to say thank you. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for all you're doing. And thank you for all that you're going to do, oh God. We bless your holy name.
Yes, we do.
We ask that you continue to watch over your people. Continue to breathe life. And I don't mean life where we can see, hear, walk, talk. I'm saying life as in being that ray of sunshine in a very dark time, oh God.
Yes, God.
We need have that sun just beaming down on everyone right now. And we pray that it's going throughout the world right now. And we ask all of these continuous blessings as we ask you to come into this talk hour. Have your way. Let it be spoken in love, oh God, that you and only you will be glorified. And all of the people will be encouraged on today. We ask these blessings in the mighty name of your son Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
God. Praise be to God.
It's so gloomy out now. I'm riding around and I'm looking around the world and I'm listening to all the stories and I'm going, I don't know about anybody else, but I don't care to listen to the news all the time because that's what you're going to fall. You know?
Yes.
You think, let me see what's going on around the world and the next thing you know, you're in a funk.
That's it.
Because you said over all that you're watching all the time, that's not good.
That's true.
This one's dying, that one's dying. COVID here. And you said, no, there's some sunshine somewhere. They're just not reporting those stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people are still alive, still healthy, like cousin, you know, texting everybody this morning going, woohoo! Granny is 87 years today. And I'm going, wow, how awesome is that? You know, I know a couple of months ago he did the same thing. Woohoo! Grandpa is 91 today.
Wow.
For surviving. You know, they have seven kids, all seven kids alive and healthy. Well,
wow.
So we thank God for this.
Absolutely.
We want to hear some good things.
Amen.
You know, we heard all the sad, sad stories. You know, and granted, that's the truth of the matter. But every now and again,
something good.
Yeah, we want to hear some good stuff.
That's
you
right.
You know, we don't always want to, oh, well, bless God, I'm here, I'm alive. You know, my body is ready with pain, but I'm here anyhow. Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't that what we always say?
Me. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. That's why they tell that testimony service, because he used to come in the testimony service, and I could look at the pastor's face, and he goes, dang, I'm sorry I had testimony. So everybody, you think testimonies are supposed to uplift others to know that, hey, look what they're going through, what they're holding on to God's unchanging hands. And everything is turned out well for them. They get to, oh, the devil was after me. And I didn't know how to pay my rent.
You know
and
how
you're
going
to
come out
God.
Of it.
Oh,
you know, and my thing is, get to the good part.
What's the part?
To the part where you praising God. You know, we already know you glorifying the devil. Because that's what you're doing. Okay, and you know what? Devil is sitting back saying, I didn't touch them. I wasn't over there. I was in California.
Yeah, but let me see what's happening over there. I wasn't
you know,
there, but let me get
over there. Glorifying me. I'll take the credit. Yeah, I did it. But I don't know how because I can't do it.
You know, go
in a lot of ways, I'm just like them. I can't be everywhere all the time. I'm not God. Although I'm
so let me get my demon over there.
Yeah, you know, he says, y'all check it, see we got some imps over there. Maybe that's what was messing with them. But,
probably.
You know, I bless God because he intended for testimonies to be uplifting. You know, when he told me, he says, Satan is after you by name. He said, I pray for you. But when you return, use your story to strengthen your brother.
Yes.
Then it was supposed to strengthen them, not to encourage them. But anyway, God bless all of you on the line. Evangelist Hilda, God bless you. Pastor Mother Wiggins, Sister Barbara. All of you that are on the line, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us this morning. I bless God for all of you. We're going to hear some good stories today. We are not leaving wiping our eyes with tears. Nah, we are going to hear some good stories today. You know, when we testify, remember, I don't know if the churches are dead, open up or not, but when you testify, it's got to be uplifting because you're telling people what God did for you to get you through. Right? Don't put so much focus on what you went through and how you went through it. Just tell them how God got you through. And, oh, my goodness, things are better than ever.
Amen. That's right.
And you got to, and look. Don't testify for 25 minutes. Oh, the devil. And then you want to sing a song. The devil was trying to kill me. No, we had enough already. You already told us how you tried to kill. Now you're going to sing about it? No.
We're going to sing
I'm trying to tell you. And then people wonder why. They got rid of testimony service. Hold on 1 minute, everybody. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I'm in the car, and I know he's going to cut the call, so I wanted to make sure I didn't get cut off with the call.
But anyhow, it's not that there's no good. It's just that they don't make headlines, that's all. They just don't make the headlines. Now, I'm talking for 2 minutes, giving y'all time to get y'all best testimony ready for God. Your best ready for God. So, I'm going to start with Sister Barbara, our portress.
Amen.
Give your best testimony for God. Come on, girl.
All right. Good morning to everybody. Giving honor to God. I just wanted to share a little testimony that happened to me last week. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was invited to sing at a pastor's church. And when we went, Kenneth drove me there, and I asked a friend of mine to go with me because I knew he wasn't going to stay. But anyway, she went. And so this is a new church to us. It was, you know, how churches are in Brooklyn. They're on one level. They're really an old, you know, house or whatever. Yes. So we got out the car. There were two doors, so neither was open. So I'm like, well, I don't know which, you know. So I went to the door that had the two doorbells on it. So they followed me, and we stood at the door. I rang one bell, no response. Rang another, rang it again, nothing. And then Kenneth suggested, well, ring the other one. Okay, so I rang. I didn't realize it was another one, but ring the other one. So I rang the other one, no response. And we're standing there, you know, wondering, well, how are we going to get in? We were early. I mean, it was supposed to start at 3, and I got there around 2 because I wanted to rehearse with the musician. But anyway, so we're ringing the bell and stood there wondering, perplexed, how are we going to get in this place? And so lo and behold, someone came out of the other door. And I was like, oh, so y'all heard the bell? He said, the bell doesn't work. So I said, so what happened that you're coming out now, you know, as we're standing here? Meantime, I was entering, you know, so he held the door, the usher, he held the door open for me. I said, what happened for us, rather? What happened that, you know, you're coming out now? We rang the bell and nobody heard it. He said, I came out to mail a letter.
Oh, wow.
God. So I got inside. I told my friend, I said, look at God. And I don't know if she even realized what I was saying at first. But had he not had a letter, the usher had not had a letter to mail, we would have still been standing outside until they opened the doors at close to 3 o'clock. So I just want to say, God is good. Who would be mailing a letter on
God
a Sunday
is good.
Afternoon? Who would be mailing a letter Sunday afternoon? But God. I thank him for that. That's my testimony. I had to remember it because some other thing happened, but I can't recall what it was. But I said, when I get an opportunity, I'm going to testify about the goodness of the Lord. Because he didn't have to do it.
That
young man waited till the next day to mail it or had, you know?
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
That is so true.
God is awesome. Thank you for the time.
Amen.
You know what? You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. We bless God because sometimes we overlook those things when they're really powerful. Did you hear what she said? She said the man was going to mail his letter on a Sunday. Who does that? You know ain't nobody coming till Monday or Tuesday or whenever. While they're having the bell, God is saying, look at my baby's trying to get in. Let me send him his letter so he can open that door. She's
powerful.
God is good. Good. And his timing is perfect.
Because
that was right on time. It wasn't just, oh, he decided to go do a letter. No, God got him up. Go mail your letter. Why? Because they didn't know the bell was being rung.
Exactly.
We thank you, thank you for that testimony. See, that's what I'm talking about. You've got to see God in everything because he's
that's
there.
Right.
He is there.
Yes,
you know, and can you imagine if you're a musician or a gospel singer or whatever, you want to go get your voice right, get into God's presence, the atmosphere set. Can you imagine if they would have been walking through the door at 3 o'clock and everybody else? Wow.
And they didn't get a chance to get ready just to wound down and get into the presence of God. That was awesome. Thank you, Sister Barbara. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
The musician never showed up, okay? This was an afternoon service. The pastor paid him in the morning. He got paid in the morning thinking he would come back in the afternoon, and he didn't show up. So I didn't get to rehearse. And I had to sing two songs a cappella, but God is still on.
Yes.
God is still on. Man.
Beautiful. That was beautiful.
He got his money and took off. Thank you.
Don't pay him in advance. Wait till
that's what he said. I had known I'd have held his money this afternoon.
Exactly.
Amen.
And I got paid.
Sister Barbara got paid. Because you know what? God knew that even without that musician, you still was going to lift up the name of Jesus. And that's what he was saying.
Amen.
He already knew. And thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful. Mother Wiggins, your turn.
Amen. Well, you know, it looked like God already knew that you was going to ask for testimonies. And he had brought something to my mind while you was in the car talking. You know, while you was in the car talking before you came on more louder, he put in remembrance something that happened to me during the COVID, you know, COVID-19. Because you know, during COVID-19, I'm always in the house. I never go outside. I hadn't been going out. I really haven't been out of the house since 2019. I've been in the house. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone downstairs because I'm not really able to go down the steps. You know, they got two flights of stairs now, but now I'm really not able. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about that during COVID-19. You know, I had caregivers, you know, that was bringing food and everything, and then at one time, you know, sometimes things would happen with a caregiver, and I wouldn't have a caregiver. And this, the time was that I had no food. I had no food. I didn't have a caregiver. I was like in between caregivers. And don't you know that my landlady called me up to let me know that there's people that gives out food. She gave me a number to call.
Yeah.
And those people gave me food for about a month.
Whoa.
They brought food for me. Yes, they did. They brought food for me to last for a week or something, and I put it in the freezer. You know what I mean?
Right,
and then I warmed it up, my dinner and all of that. They gave me food for a good period of time. And that's what I want to, talk about. You know, of how good God is.
Yes.
And even though it seems like impossible, you know what I mean? You wonder and you say, well, how am I going to get this? How am I going to get some food? And my landlady called me and gave me that number, and I called the people, and they came and started giving me food.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate it, and I thank God for that.
God,
you know,
praise God.
How God can make a way out of no way, you know?
Oh, yes.
When you think that, you know, just like what you talked about, a person talking about they can't pay their rent. Mm-hmm. But God makes a way out of no way.
Yes, he does.
You know, you have to call on him and not the devil, you know, really.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Because the devil's not going to do nothing for you. You know what I mean? He's not going to do nothing for you. He's going to see, like you said, when you see that you don't have no faith in God, he'll be, Let me send another demon over there.
Exactly.
Know?
Yep. He showed me.
Yep. So I my mind is not back on that. How, you know, because there was nobody here. You know what I mean? My landlady, she lives downstairs on the next floor. But I really appreciate my landlady, you know, that he put it in her heart to give me the number.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
That, so I bless you for that. That was a wonderful. I'm sorry, were you trying to say something else, Mother?
No.
That was a wonderful testimony. What I got to tell you, I'm stuck on the first part. That was a beautiful story. And we thank God because he always has a ram in the bush.
Yes.
And as beautiful as that story was, I'm stuck on the first part. What you say, you hadn't been outside since 2018. And
19.
I know I said we're going to lift up 2019. And I know I said we're going to lift up Jesus and we're going to get some happiness on it. Well, that's happiness to me. That right there was happiness to me. Because there are so many people that are able to get out, walk here, walk there, do this, do that, and they are complaining.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And been in the house since, what, a year, not being able to go outside.
A year. This is
what, 2021?
Right.
2021, I've been in the house
year.
2 years. From 19 to 21.
2 years. The reason why I'm saying that is because when you said it, but you kind of said it real quick and you went to the good news, and I'm going, but that's good news for somebody that thinks, I got to get up and go to work. Oh, man, I got to go to the store for groceries. Oh, man, I got to do this. And here's somebody that wants to do all of that, but they have been stuck in the house. And the reason why, and when I heard it, my heart went, wow. Well, Pastor Steven sitting over there, he went, wow.
I want to say something. Could I say something right there?
Absolutely.
Can I say something? More good news. I believe that God was protecting me from the COVID-19.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
I really believe that. I really believe that. Because this thing was just going on, and people all in the nursing homes was dying. And here I was. It's like God held me. You know what I mean? He held me right here. You know what I mean?
Remember,
the people that came in, I'm sorry?
I said, remember, it's not over yet. The pandemic is not ended yet.
I understand that, but God has protected me. I mean, for 2 years, people was dying all around me. And I was here. I'm elderly. I saw people dying all in the nursing homes and stuff. That's really a testimony for me.
Yes.
And I knew God was protecting me. He wouldn't even let me go outside.
Because you weren't able to go outside, so you couldn't even breathe all that stuff that was out there. Yes, that is the news. God did. He put his arm in front of you and said, I'm sorry, but I can't let you go out right now. You're going in this house.
Amen.
But even in this house, I'm going to make sure you get everything you need.
I looked at it as a blessing.
It was a blessing.
Amen.
In fact, it is a blessing. Still, it's a blessing.
Because, like you say, you know, nobody knows how anybody's immune system is, and you go out there, and then you know all this stuff is airborne. We thank God that He kept you. He literally kept you.
He kept me.
Yeah, and he sent that raven to bring you food every day.
I didn't starve a day. I'm not gonna lie.
Not
I
one
ate every day.
Day.
I didn't. I ate every day, and it's been what 2 years now? Over two and a half years. Because the last time I went out was during the time with the tax. I went to do my income tax. That was the last time I was out. Isn't that something? I'm in the process of coming out of here, but I'm just saying that was the last time at that time.
Yeah, well, he kept you. You might as well have been on a little private island all by yourself. Because God made you. He was going to protect you. And you know what the wonderful part is? Sometimes we don't see God's protection.
That's right.
Right? We see it being something negative when really it's just God protecting us.
Absolutely.
That's it. God protecting you, you know. Because God, you know.
It's just protection. Yes. And thank God for it. For all that he's done, doing, and is still going to do for you, Mother. We thank God. Because I'm telling you,
you know why
he's blessing me? You know, I don't know about anybody else. If you see older people, and not just older people, some young people, when they cannot go outside and just smell the fresh air or look at the flowers, they tend to get a little depressed.
Yes.
Yes.
Just because they can't go outside and they can't smell the fresh air, they can't come out of their surroundings, and they go into a little bit of a depression. Because I took care of a lady that she had Alzheimer's, and every time she got to go outside, because I didn't know no better. I'm not a caregiver. All I knew was do what I would do for myself. So I said, come on, young lady, we're going outside. And she's smiling like, really? You know, because her husband said, if she's going to be in hospice, then I'm going to get my own chaplain. I'm going to have her at home in hospice. And so he called up me and Pastor Steven, and I'm like, I'm not a caregiver. I'm not even a chaplain. What are you doing? I can't take care of her. You know, she's all little, and oh, my God, I can't even tell you the condition she was in. And all I could do, me and Pastor Steven kept praying. I was cooking for her. I was cleaning the house. It was a German and a Jew. German and a Jew.
Pastor Cassie, you're going to really be blessed. You really are. I mean, people don't realize that even though your body gets old, inside you're still young. Your spirit is still young, even though your body gets old. And so a lot of times people don't realize to offer an elderly person to say, here, let me take you for a little drive. Because it's a horrible thing when you've been going outside and everything, and all of a sudden you can't go out.
And that's what I'm saying. When you cannot go out just to see the sun shining, just to hear the birds twirling, you know, things that people take for granted. You know, when you can't do those things, that's when you really mess up. And I would get up and curl her hair because she's like, I want that. I said, what? And she pointing to her hair, and I'm like, you a German. Okay. So I curl her hair. Then I got to give her that. I said, Lord, you know I don't know what I'm doing. Help me, Jesus.
Yeah, that's
and
wonderful.
Then she goes, come on, my friend. Get in the shower with me. I said, oh, God, you're trying to get me locked up. I said, no, none of that now. You get in the shower by yourself. And so I would take her outside, and she would be coming to life.
Because
just from coming outside. Because I'm telling you, when I went into that nursing home, he wanted us to meet her. Mm-hmm. And I went in that nursing home, and I said, see, God, this is why I do not like nursing homes. Because every time I go to one, and there may be some really good ones, but every time I go to one, it smells like a nursing home. It's just, dreary in there. And so the husband was like, no, I want her to be at home.
Yes.
And so he brought her at home. And don't you know, they dismissed hospice. Miss Thing did not even die.
Beautiful.
Chasing behind her husband, telling her, where you going, Jack? Where you going? What in the world? She had to come back to life. And they canceled hospice. She came back to life. And so I was going to hear, she said, you don't have to feed me. I can eat myself. Because, you know, I'm dealing with the gym. And I said, well, okay, feed yourself. And so she said, I like you. You my friend. I said, yeah, we're friends. With friends.
That's wonderful.
You know, and here's the part that got me. Because I didn't see a mop in their house, so I would get down and just mop with a towel because I didn't want it to smell like a nursing home. So I opened up the windows and I used pine saw, and I told a pastor friend of mine, and that pastor looked at me and said, what are you doing? You're not no slave. Don't get down on your hands and knees. I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That really bothered me that that's how they thought. And I'm thinking, this is a human being. She don't need to smell what she smelled in the nursing home. We want to keep it clean and fresh. And she was coming to life, and Stephen would come over there, and Jack would go, okay, we're having church now. And we do little Bible things, you know, and he put on the gaither, gather family, one of those gather. Anyway, he always put them on, and we were singing all these songs, and we're like, okay.
Oh,
and then when
nice.
Family came over to see her, they were looking at her eating and drinking by herself.
They couldn't believe
and
it.
And they went, Mom, wow. And when I tell you, they gave me and Stephen a lot of respect just for the time we put in with their mother
That's
and
beautiful.
Father. And it blessed me to see her coming back to life. Although we went away. Now, I didn't realize when I was taking care of her that God was really preparing me to go take care of Stephen's mother. Because I didn't know what Alzheimer's was. You know, I didn't know. You know, they said they can't remember. And I still wasn't grasping what it is. So I was talking to Ms. Betty like she was just another person. I didn't know the next 5 minutes she wouldn't remember what I said, you know. And she was calling me all feisty. I said, oh, I don't think so, young lady. Where are you going with that? And then, you know, I come back at her like that. And I'm telling you, it would make her day. Had that kind of conversation because she was a feisty German. Trust me, she was. You know, and then when I saw that jealousy rise up, I said, what is she doing? She get her off that chair. Now, she was in a walker. She couldn't even walk. She get her off that chair. She said, where do you think you're going, Jack? And Jack said, I'm just going out for some fresh air. She said, I'm going with you. I said, Mrs. She said, shut your mouth. Yes, we are. And she would get in the car, and one time we went to the nursing home. And she said, what are we doing here, Jack? And I don't blame her, but she said, I'm not in the nursing home. Why are you still visiting? Right? She wasn't no fool. Miss Betty said, what are we doing here? So he said, just wait here. I'll be right back. And he goes into the nursing home. Miss Betty opening the door. I said, what are you doing? No. You cannot walk within the trunk. She said, get out of my way. I said, oh, my Lord, what is going on? If something happens to this woman, what am I going to do? So I'm walking behind her so she don't fall. Miss Betty was walking to that nursing home, and thank God Jack came out in the nick of time because she looked like she was about to tear that place up. She said, what were you doing in there, Jack? So I can't think of the woman's name. He said, I want to see Sally. What for? He said, well, you know, she was a good friend to you. Betty had that look in her face like, I don't think so. You will not be going visiting nobody up in there. I was like, ooh, jealousy. Alzheimer's ain't got nothing on jealousy because it's ready like, I see you. I know you, my husband. You ain't going to see no other woman. Giving them the treatment that was meant for me.
Another woman.
You know, tell you, that's how she was thinking because you know what? We would take them to church, and Jack would always go, can you guys take us to church just for an hour? And then, because I know y'all have Sundays, so y'all want to go to church. We say, yeah. We take them to church. Betty, when they stand up, because, you know, they stand up, sit down, Betty would take her hand and put it up in her husband's behind. So every woman in there could see, this is mine.
Oh,
and me and Stephen, we would be rolling. What is this lady doing? And she was standing there with her hand up his butt. I said, you know, I said, she ain't got it on the butt. She grabbing that butt like, this is mine. No one just, I don't care what kind of condition I'm in. And me and Steve, we would be rolling so hard. I said, oh, my God. I said, well, you could say she got Alzheimer's. Well, jealousy has bust through that Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow. But you know, maybe she saw some things she didn't like, you know what I mean? But
that's
she couldn't
what I'm
respond.
Saying. She saw other women looking at Jack, and she was like, oh, that's it.
I see you looking at Oz Ryan. She put her hand, and then when we walked out the church, she got her hand in the same place. And you would think that Jack would go, stop, let him stop. Jack would be walking right with her.
I said, what did he say? He said, I'm used to this.
And Jack had that thing like, or act like you want me then. You know, and he walked in and her hand is stuck there. And then I know that's how he was thinking because he asked the nurses. He said, well, is it okay if we have relations? And I'm looking at y'all, I said, is y'all in your late 80s? He said, can we have relations? They said, I don't think it's going to hurt her, you know, if she wants it. I said, oh, my God, this is too funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
people think that when people get older that they don't have no kind of feelings or anything, but that's not true.
No, it's not.
That ain't true.
Thank you, Mother.
Well, I'm telling you, it's not true.
That's right.
It's not true. Are we going into something else now? Not true.
You know what? Yeah. Pastor Stephen is killing me because he in the background going, go ahead on, Mother, go
ahead.
Wow.
Well, you know, I don't have Alzheimer's and everything. I'm in my right mind, and I can tell you right now, it's not true.
Amen, Mother.
Says, that's true.
It ain't true.
You know?
I got no Alzheimer's either. I know it's true.
Yeah. It's not true.
Well, we bless God because that family really brought a new perspective on life for me and Stephen. You know,
mm-hmm.
looking at and they were so grateful to dismiss hospice because they
mm-hmm.
were giving her a month. I said, please, Miss Reddy ain't going nowhere. As long as she can see Jack looking like he going somewhere, she ain't going nowhere. She's gonna be right here guarding what's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't giving her any medicine, so she was really coming to life. You know.
Well, you know what? I just want to say one thing. When we look at older people, you have to realize their body deteriorated. That does not mean they're old. They're young in their mind and everything. They just look that way. Their body gets shriveled up and it dies. But what happens to the spirit? It either goes to be with God or goes to be, go to hell. You know what I'm saying? So our spirit is still young. It's still in a youthful state. It ain't 18 or 20. It could be like 30, 40 years old. But your body gets old, but your spirit doesn't.
That's
your spirit
right.
doesn't get old like your body. It's
That's
different.
True. That's
right?
True.
As you get older, you'll see it. You still be the same way, but your body just gets old, looks older.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you're old because they just take it that way because they see your body in a certain state. But believe me, you're still in a young state.
I can see that. I really can.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Anyway, we had so much fun with those two. And it prepared me to go take care of Apostle Duvo. You know what? I've seen three people that I love. I had Grandma Doris from the first marriage. I had Miss Betty, and I had Stephen's mom. And I'm telling you, I've seen three different kinds of Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
The three of them had Alzheimer's, but they were different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different stages of this Alzheimer's state. And I was like, wow, okay. You know? But they all had life in them. They were feisty. They wanted to go outside and take a walk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say I applaud you because when you get on the line, you sound so strong and so happy. And no one would ever have guessed that you have not been outside those doors for that long. Not a week, not a month, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
No one would ever have guessed why. Because God has been bringing the sun into your home.
That's true.
He's been that breath of fresh air right there
Amen.
Where he had you, where he was keeping you safe. He came and he was breathing life over you.
So we thank God for your testimony. That was absolutely beautiful. I hope you're ready, Evangelist Hilda.
As ready as I'm going to be. My testimony is that yesterday we didn't have service because we had rehearsal. So I went to my old church where I used to go, and we had rehearsal there. But I left home early to get down there early to spend some time with my sisters. And so we were like sitting out in the park where my sister lived, and she had her little granddaughter with her, which is 2 years almost. Well, she's 2.5 now. And my dear, we were sitting there among all those trees. And, you know, I'm allergies. And, oh, my goodness, my eyes and things started to puff up and things. But I totally ignored that because the little girl kept running and saying, Auntie, Auntie, Auntie. I said, yes, darling. She said, look at the squirrels. They, and you know what the squirrels were doing? They were running around playing with each other. And then one lady came and she threw some nuts, you know, the peanuts in the shells. So she threw them inside of the little garden where they were. And if you see how those squirrels was taking those peanuts in their mouth, and they would, you know, like they take their hands, they sit and they take the peanut, they put it in their mouth, and they twirling it around to get a good grip. Then they will go and they look up to see if any other squirrels or anything looking at them, and they will go find a spot, and they put the peanut down, and they dig that little hole and put the peanut in the hole, and they push all the dust, the dirt and stuff back on it and pat it with their little hands. And she and I standing there, we're looking at them doing all of that, and this was just so amazing. And then the next one would go and do it, the same thing. And then while that one went to bury their peanut, the one that already buried it, they were sniffing around trying to find, you know, where the other ones buried their food. So it was just so amazing.
Yeah, they were hiding from each other.
Yes. And I'm saying, wait a minute, are they all together? But apparently, I guess they weren't, because the one that buried his nut first, the other one went and dug it up and buried it where he wanted it to be. I was like, this is amazing. And that little girl, she's so friendly. And you have to watch her like a hawk, because she's so frisky and she moves so fast. And she is very friendly. She say hi to everybody. She stops the people with their children and play, want to play with them and everything. And my sister kept saying, come on, Libby, let's go. So Libby didn't want to leave the park and stuff. And then she tells her grandmother, Grandma, I don't want to go home. I want to stay with you. And her grandmother says, no, you got to go home. 12 hours is enough with you. You got to go home. And it was just so funny, you know. And then when we was going to get into my sister's car, she was like, Grandma, I make poop. Like, wait, you did what? I make poop. I need to be clean. And I'm saying, like, okay, you telling your grandma that you make poop, you need to be clean, you need to be going to the bathroom. But because she do poop, we was outside, so she couldn't. But, you know, it's just the idea that I was outside in the nature and everything. And then when we went to rehearsal, and rehearsal went so good, we just went through those songs and everywhere. every now and then I'll go off my note, and then Pastor would say, stay on your note. And then he was like, what are you doing? Why are you singing her note? And I was like, sorry, Pastor, sorry. I'll stay on my note. Then he was like, what's your note? And then I'll sing every praise, because we were singing that song. And he was like, okay. So finally, when everybody else got there, so we all started singing harmony and everything right behind me, each song. And then he was like, that's the way y'all supposed to sing. And he just praised and gave us, you know, what do you call it, thank yous and things. He said, good job. You guys were perfect tonight. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So that made my day, because he said we did everything right this time.
Okay.
Usually we spend so much time, you know, fussing with him, because he like, that's not the right note. Stay on your note. Do this. Do that. You know how Pastor is. Mm. But everything went well yesterday. So I thank God that, you know, that just the idea of him, you know, giving us thanks and praises that we did such a good job and didn't mess up everything. So it was a good day for me.
Amen. I wanted to say something about the squirrel. Could I say something about the squirrel?
Yes.
Yeah. You said the squirrels were packing stuff in the ground. I think they're getting ready for the winter.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
Yeah,
oh, they were.
They're getting ready for the winter.
Yes.
And the funniest thing is, one of the things you said that made me laugh, as if like people,
mm-hmm.
One of the squirrels saw where they put the nut, and he took the nut and put it somewhere else for himself.
He was
Does
a
that
thief.
Sound like people? That's really selfish, you know?
Yes.
That sounds just like a person, you know, a person would do, you know? But
yeah.
I guess they have their own thing just like we do. You know what I
of
mean?
Course.
Their own
yeah.
talking
mm-hmm.
and everything like that. I saw a squirrel about maybe a month ago or so. I was sitting here with my caregiver, and this squirrel came to the window. But this is the biggest squirrel I ever saw, a
wow.
big one.
Mm-hmm.
Big, fat squirrel, and he just was kept coming to the window and looking in the window. So we was just amazed, you know. We feel. Look at that big fat squirrel looking in this window, you know. But that they're getting ready for the winter, you know.
Yes.
They're smart.
Yes.
They're smart. They can really teach us something, really.
Yeah.
They're getting ready
if
for the
you
winter.
Sit down and watch them long enough, you will
mm-hmm.
learn something.
That's right. You learn something.
You know, the animals are saying, y'all think y'all got COVID. You need to come into my world. I'm always having to store food, not knowing what I'm going to get tomorrow. That's a daily routine for us.
Yeah, that's a daily routine.
You know, because in the wintertime, y'all don't come out giving us no nuts, so we got to store up.
That's true.
We got our own COVID going on.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean where they stay in the house? So like we were staying in the house.
Yeah.
Some people were saying that we know. They were saying they still have canned goods and pasta and rice and stuff from when they were giving out the food and stuff during the bad part of the pandemic. They said
mm-hmm.
they still have a whole lot of food, so push come to shove, they'll start pulling out the spaghettis and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we bless God because it is evident that God is with his own.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Even ones that have not come in yet, he is still with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the day that they're going to make that a vow of faith and they're going to come in. So he
mm-hmm.
protects them while they're out there, like he
yes.
did all of us. We were out there, he protected us.
Yes,
that's
he did.
You know, to get us into safety.
Mm-hmm. And so we bless God because God is still good. Good,
all
good,
sure
good.
Is. All the time.
Well,
the
ladies,
time.
I have some news.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun to listen to all those cheerful little testimonies and things like that. I have some news before we get off the line. This mouth has been killing me, and I've been going on and on and on, lips off, slow. I said, what is going on? But I realized it's not just the nerve damage. The nerve damage is from the excessive heat, the dryness of the air. And then I go out and I'm going, wait a minute. My nose don't usually run. My eyes
oh,
are
no.
watery. And so it's a lot of combination of things. And they say, well, you got to go to an allergist and you got to see the neurologist. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. They took blood work and they said, well, yeah, you probably got to go to an allergist. You got allergies. And then the neurologist, because my mouth, my bottom lip, and my chin is nerve damage from the excessive dryness and the heat and stuff. And so I prayed about it, and I talked to Pastor Stephen. I said, I can't do this. I can't stay in a place that's going to force me to have to take medicine to deal with this. And into this air, they're going to have to numb the nerves in my chin and my bottom lip, some of the nerves. That the dryness, I'm not feeling that tension. So I said, but if I don't feel that, I'm not going to feel nothing else, huh?
That's
no, because they're going to, they gonna, you know, dimming that nerve. I said, I don't think so. I came out here thinking it was going to be sunshine, it's going to be beautiful, all these palm trees, I'm going to have a good time. And even though some may not agree with us, it's okay, as long as God agrees. And
that's
so
right.
I said, well, we got to get out of here. I can't stay. I can't stay. Even now, you know, I go out there, and even though it's cooling off, the trees are still, my eyes are watering. And I'm going, now, no, I'm not crying. Just water.
Yeah, the climate is definitely does not agree with you.
I did not know that sunshine, heat could take that kind of toll on somebody. But there are so many people out here that is taking a toll on their bodies. But, and I said, what did you do? And they said, well, I go to the allergy or the neurologist, you know, dead in the nerve or whatever. I said, I'm not allowed to do all that. And so they got to take medicine for the rest of the day on top of the other medicine. So I talked to Pastor Steve and I said, I can't stay here. I love it here because it gives me that, you know, island feel. But I haven't had comfort in my mouth in 3 months. You know?
I want to ask you a question. Could I ask you a question? Did you,
yes,
were you there before? Is this the first time you went there?
No. No, I was here before, but not in this heat like this. Because as soon as I came, I stayed a couple of months and we left.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you didn't know about all that hot heat like that?
No, I didn't know that it was going to be excessive dryness and all this stuff. I didn't know it was going to take a toll on my body like this.
I keep wondering if it's
like,
that's it. Go ahead.
You keep wondering if it's what?
I said, I know you was wearing that mask. You was wearing a blue mask on your face.
Well, that mask is what did it to our chin.
Because I tell you, I don't want to tell you what's in that mask. That's what I was trying to tell you before. I don't know if that's it. I don't really don't know.
Oh,
but
that was it. I know it was. Because on my chin, I think that blue mask did my chin in. The nerve in my lips, it's like being in New York when it's super, super cold and your lips is crackling and dry and they're burning because you ain't got nothing to put on them. Well, that's what the sun does to my lips. Yes, ma'am.
Let me tell you something. I used to listen to stuff on the radio, and they talked about, that's one of the things they talked about. They had a woman on who came on and investigated the mask. You know, she did something in the laboratory with the mask because they was trying to find out, you know, they didn't trust it. And she said there's parasites in that mask. You know, like little worms and stuff in that mask.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me.
They told people not to wear that mask. They was telling people not to wear it. Sometimes they would shut the show down. They wouldn't let them talk. At night.
Oh, my goodness.
I used to listen to this at night on the radio.
Well, I know that the damage in my chest is in those masks. I do know that.
They tell you specifically, no, wear that blue mask. Because this woman came on and talked about, she was something in the laboratories, you know, where they test things out and stuff. And she said that there's something in that mask, those masks. She said, don't wear it. She was telling people, they were telling people not to wear that mask. So you can
wear about the blue one?
Don't wear that mask.
The white ones, are they safe? Or the black one?
They didn't say nothing about the white or the black. They just said those blue masks. And I got a lot of them. I bought some, you know what I mean, where I had a pack of them, and I stopped wearing it. I didn't wear the mask. Because, you know, I don't wear it long enough. But you do, Pastor Kathy, because I know you be out riding and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And you wear that
wearing
mask
the blue ones because my face was on there. But I stopped using the blue ones because of that.
Because I the reason I never said nothing because they were shutting down shows for saying things like that. They were shutting down all on the radio. If they mentioned anything like that, they messed the show up, you know, take people off.
Well, my thing is, you know, whether they like it or not, God is going to make sure that his people get educated so that they know
what
they're
doing. That's what it was, the education. But I scared to say nothing about it. I didn't want to see our show off the air, you know.
Oh, you're still ain't going nowhere. God is with you guys. And so what's happening is I'm having to leave Arizona. And so Stephen says, I just don't understand. I feel like God brought us out, and now finally we're being launched into our destiny. And even though Stephen goes, I don't understand. You don't know, moving. You know what? I watch a couple of actors and actresses, and some, you know, the people chasing their dreams, and they said they moved here, they moved there, because they knew they had something bigger planned for their life, and they kept moving. And when they got to that place of destiny or that final plan, that's when everything took off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, people don't look at those stories. And I said, they're looking at me, and it doesn't make me any difference whether they approve or disapprove.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
If God is still with me, I'm going to do whatever I got to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Easy. And I'm telling you, it is not easy to pack up and try to get out of here.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, you know, start having to take medicine so that my health will be okay, only because of the trees and the dryness of the air. Come on, no. I'm going to have other things that I got to worry about. I ain't worried about no trees. And my neighbor next door, she said, every time she comes out and she comes out our yard, she crossed the street because of that tree. And I said, what you say?
What tree is that?
It's a tree, and it's got like orange things on it. They look like flowers, but they're not flowers.
Mhm. Mm.
Because they look like flowers, but, you know, orange, and we got her in the front yard and the backyard. But she says she always crossed the street because she gets a sniffing and her eyes watering up. And I said, Steven, I told you, I thought it was something in these trees, you know, because you know how when weeds come up, they look like grass, but it's not grass, it's weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So with anything else, you know, just like in the Bible, it says you're going to get the tares with the weeds and all that, right? Well, these orange trees, they grow in like they're really good trees, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like pollen or something.
Okay.
Because whenever you go near them, it just messes with you. And so I said, I ain't never sniffed as much as I've done since I've been out here. Nose just running, running, running.
Mm-hmm.
So Pastor Steven said, we're going to get out of here. And I looked at Pastor Steven one day, and I said, what are we going to do? And he looked at me, and he says, well, I guess we could try Charleston. And I said, what? And he just, you know, kept on going. And I started looking into the area and things like that. And I tell you, people don't understand why God does what he does or why he allows us to do what we do. And even there are times, and I know a lot of the times, people look at me and say, that thing's always moving, right? And here's the thing. I said it, and I know we got to come in for a close. I said it the other day last week. I said, you know, I want to tell them it really is like five. And I just want to preach. I want to preach. I want to get to that place that God told me, showed me when I was 12. Because these are the end times. It may not end, but these are the end times.
That's right.
And so the end times, people think because we're in the end times, that means the world is going to end. No. In the end times, it shows you all kinds of calamity and stuff like that going on. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily that it's going to end, but it's going to be trying times. And we're in those times. And so I said, Lord, you know, I just feel like I'm trying to find that place where I'm supposed to be. As soon as I get somewhere and I get settled down, boom, this ain't it. So this time I got settled down, unpacked everything, thought this was it. And then I sat back and I went, of all the places this heat could have attacked, why would it be my mouth?
Yeah.
It had to be my mouth because that's the only place that would have gotten my attention.
True.
If it was any place else in my body, I would have just dealt with it, said, oh, man, it's hot. I could deal with this and kill a moon. But because it was my mouth, and I'm going, Lord, why you let it happen to my mouth? You know this is my weapon. And you got to hear it in the spirit and hear God saying, because I needed to get your attention. I wouldn't have gotten it any other way. You have a good mouth. Things are looking like they're going so good. And you guys are planting your roots there.
Yeah.
And people don't understand when God said, I see you planting your roots, but that ain't what I intended for it to be your permanent home. I got some stuff planned for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people say, that ain't God telling you to move all those signs. Here's the thing. God may not have told me to. I moved about 10 times. And in the 10 times, two of those times probably was my own doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But every single time I moved, God was right there with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We never miss a beat. We never miss
a
beat. And I'm going, okay. So now, and guess what? Every time we move, it was all easy. Everything was good. We just, boom, we're there. This time, I'm trying to tell you, it's like someone tied up our feet, tied up our hands, and said, let me see you move now.
Wow.
And you trying to move with your feet and everything all tied up. And you, because it is heck to get out of here. We have been trying for a week and a half to get out. All kind of stuff's been happening. And then my thing is, I said, oh, my God. Then I started getting happy. At first, I was like, oh, my God, we're going through 2 months. Does this mean we're supposed to stay here? And then things have calmed down, and I go, okay, no, we're supposed to go. And then things have flared back up. And I'm like, what in the world? But I feel like, Stephen, we're about to come into the promised land right where we're supposed to be. Because no move has been like this. This one is just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. I had all kind of things going on in my mind. I'm like, what is going on? Family members rising up against me. I said, whoa, Lord. Come on now. But now me and Stephen chose to just trust and let God do what he's doing.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So you're saying you're going to Charleston?
Yes, ma'am. We're going to Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, South. Okay, I was going to ask you North or South, so it's South.
South Carolina, because Charleston is filled with water all around it. It's like islands, little islands all around it. You know what I mean? The air is cool, and, you know, I think it'll be a lot better. But not just for that. I really, that's going to be where the ministry takes off. I think God is going to do a lot of good things for the ministry there.
Yes.
Yeah. Because when I tell you it has been, the people came to move our stuff. They said, we can only move that right there. Now, you got 3 bedrooms full of furniture, and they saying they can only move what's equivalent to what fits in a kitchen. And I go, what do you want the rest of our stuff? I said, oh, my God, what is going on? So it's been a lot, but God is so good because he had a ram in the bush. And we got it all out of now. We're going to take ourselves and get across. And the thing about my lip and my chin, I don't understand it because hurt, I got to tell you, I got a little nervous because my weight kept, And my son and everybody was like, no, the weight is coming off because you can't eat. Because every time I eat, everything was running my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here I sound all crazy.
Mm.
And so, you know, and I'm going, oh, my God. So I got a little nervous because I'm saying, this is a lot of weight. So yesterday I had bought my granddaughter some hands, and then I took them back. I didn't give them to her. She lives in Georgia. I didn't give them to her because I said, oh, man. You know, her parents were going to go crazy on me because they were going to go, why you buy her those sexy hands? She can't wear those. So I said, I'm going to take them back to the store and get the money back. And I sent her the stuff that was appropriate for a 12-year-old.
Oh, okay.
So I looked at the pants. I said, dang, I didn't get to take the hands back to the store. I got to take his hands back. And Pastor Stephen looked at me and he goes, well, you lost quite a bit of weight. You probably can fit them your size. I don't think so. He said, try them on. I tried on the pants. I didn't know whether to cry or laugh. I tried them on. I said, oh, my God. And then I went, whoa. Oh, my God. Whoa. I didn't know whether or not to be happy or sad. Happy because they look nice on me, and sad because, oh, my God. It must be something serious that I'm losing all this weight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because
you just haven't been eating.
I haven't been eating because everything runs around. The only thing I can eat is these little Oreo cookies. And it's the only thing that doesn't run around. Everything else runs around. And so yesterday, and, you know, I keep drinking a lot of water, right? And then it'll calm down. And I'm going to close out. There are times that I'm going, something ain't right because I'm losing this weight. And then there are times when I'm drinking the water, and I'm going, well, if it was something serious, it would have showed up in my blood. And not only that, if it was something serious, then it, because there are times when it's cool and it doesn't do anything, and then if I even think about eating, it'll flare up.
Wow.
And I'm going, okay, it's trying to heal because I looked at it on the internet, you know, and it says that when there's nerve damage, if the body is taken away or there's no more trauma to that area, the nerves have the ability to heal themselves.
Okay.
It has the ability to restore itself within 6 months. You know, as long as there's no more trauma to it, it'll repair itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I said, 6 months? I said, okay, I already went through 3, so come on now. Heal yourself.
Well, at least you know it can be healed. You know?
Yes.
It can be, well, either that or go to the neurologist and let her know in the nerve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have something going on with my nerve with my leg, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the legs. Oh, my gosh. Terrible.
Sometimes I have a spasm, leg spasms. My I have sciatica on one side of my, and it affects, you know, eventually affects my other leg, you know. But I have things going on with my nerves too. But it's good to know that as long I notice that if I try to do something with it, it gets worse, you know. But if I, like you said, if I leave it alone, you know, like you said, it'll take about 6 months for it to heal, you know, your nerves.
Yeah, it has the ability, the nerves have the ability to restore
themselves. It's good to know that. Good to know that.
You know, because there's days and I let it, I drink the water, and I don't eat much of anything, and then it won't be no burning, nothing. As soon as I go to eat, my God.
Mm-hmm. It flares up.
So, well, that's only because the little cut from my lip is still there. And I have some, Steven had some kind of lip balm yesterday, and I don't like the lip balm because they sting when they go on. But this one was some kind of cherry something. I put it on my lip, and it felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
I went and took the whole stick and put it all over my lips. You should have seen my lips. I looked so crazy. But that was okay because it felt good. And then I looked back down at a little tube, and I had to use it all, so I got to go back and try to find some.
Mm-hmm.
But I bless God because I feel like God is getting ready to cross us over. This is it.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I got, I pulled my flames. I couldn't find my flames. We was up packing stuff. And I looked down because it looked like some little thing was flying in the house. I said, what is that? And I looked up under the desk, and there was some of my flames.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard Scott here, I looked under the desk, and there was a shelf. And I said, oh, I'll leave them there. But I forgot I left them there. So I couldn't find them. So I looked under there. I said, oh, my God. And then all these clothes that I had, and I went, why did I buy all these clothes from this woman? She is she has a store that sells Christian clothing, a boutique in San Diego. And I bought all these clothes, and it seemed like a month later I couldn't fit none of them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I told Stephen, I said, well, I'm going to get off the Goodwill. He said, no, I think you ought to try them on. And I tried them on, and I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So in my mind, I'm saying it was for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if you look at this clothing line, she had Donna da Vinci and all that. And I was like, who are these people? I don't even know these people. You know, the sisters, I got some of their stuff. And I was just buying it because the lady's like, oh, that looks good on you. It looks good on you. Yeah, and then when I looked at myself and a month later, I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to look all big in the clothes. So I put them in the back of the closet. And then last week I was going to give them away to Goodwill. He said, no, I think you ought to try them on again. I tried them on. Oh, my God. I said, Lord, you are so good. But anyway, so if nothing else, the lip caused me to lose weight.
True.
And I keep telling myself, this too shall pass. This will pass, and I will be able to fit those clothes. And I'm saying, why do I need to wear the clothes now? I can't see the doors that God's going to open, but I know they're going to open down there. We've been in touch with some of the elders and stuff like that, so I know. They were praying and said, no, this is the best thing. I said, they just want me to come to their church. You know, they want you to come. They want you to come and speak at their church and stuff. And I said, this is going to be good because the clothes fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those clothes were not cheap because I bought them in a boutique. But I bought them at a time when I was in San Diego making money. And I was like, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that too and that. Yeah, and now I'm just telling you guys because I want y'all to pray for me. Praise for Pastor.
I've been praying for you.
We pray all the time for you.
Yeah, I've been praying.
Yeah, but we're making a move, and if there's 10 people standing there looking at us, only, watch this now, only 2 people are on our side.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
Now, remember, the 12 spies went out, and the 2 people went back and said, no, this is going to be good, this is going to be good. And the other 10 said, no, 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 no. And so the people didn't want to do it because of what the 10 said, right? So I feel like we got 2 people encouraging us. But my thing is, Lord, as long as we got you, that's more than a whole world again.
Nobody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but here's the thing.
So I want to ask you a question. Is Charleston is close to that, to where you are now? Charleston?
No, ma'am. Charleston is in the south.
Oh.
East Coast.
Oh,
it's on the west coast. Yeah, we're on the west coast right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Pastor Stephen said that God brought us out here. He allowed us to come out here so he can wring the last little bit of residue out of us. So when we get there, we're so much more prepared for what he's calling us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know, and Stephen, you know, he's still walking around with Kenny's dry bones lit. And I tell you, Arizona is a dry place. And he said, well, breathe on him, you know. And he says, God is breathing on us, and it is going to be so awesome when we get where we're going. We had to get out here so God could ring out, show us, prepare us, and now he can launch us forward. And I'm saying, wow. Anybody know Pastor Michael Todd?
No. Pastor Michael Todd? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's on TV now, and it looks like, he said, people think, I just laid it big. I just showed them on the scene and everything's going to, huh? Huh? He said it looks like everything I just showed up.
There's something there.
She's saying something, but I can't understand what she's saying.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. So he's saying that, he said, it looks like I just showed him on the scene and making it big. He said, that's not the case. Y'all wasn't with me when I was in the dog room.
Yeah.
He said, remember those cameras where you know, you had to wait until they was developed and you had to develop them in the dog room?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And all kind of stuff was going on. He said, when I was in the dark room and all this was going on, it was really dark for me. Mm-hmm. And now that God has gotten to where I've developed and I am ready to be seen, you guys don't know what it took for me to get here.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We don't.
And I listened to him and I said, that's going to be us, because nobody knows what we've been through to get to this point.
So can I ask you a question before I have to leave?
Yes, ma'am.
When do you plan to move?
In 2 days.
Oh, goodness. All right. So I heard you say you got everything, you know, you're packing up and stuff. I wish you a safe journey. And
yes,
God has a reason and God has a purpose for your life. Amen.
Yes.
And he doesn't put anything, I know you already know, but he doesn't put anything on you more than what you can bear. Mm-hmm. And he does make a way of escape. So
amen.
I'm grateful that you're getting out of that situation, but he's opening other doors for you. Amen.
Yes.
So you all travel safely. You're in God's hands. He's in charge. All right.
Yeah.
Just allow him to do what he does, because he's doing it.
Amen.
God bless you.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Sister Barbara. I appreciate hearing from you. Thank you so much.
I can't give my regards to Pastor Stevens also and encourage him to be strong. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Barbara.
So welcome.
Well, you guys, that's the end of the story. And I tell you, I am so looking for a few sets when we start driving across. I believe when we start driving across, you're going to start feeling expedited healing in your mouth.
Amen.
God be the glory.
And, you know, if that goes away completely, you'll know that it had to do with the weather, you know, how the weather was there, you know. And I just hope, pray, and I know that God is going to really, you know, lead and guide you where you're going, and that he'll protect you, you know.
That's right.
And heal in your mind.
You know what? Some people believe that Pastor Stephen and myself keep moving because we don't have jobs. They're so crazy. Guess what? When we move, we have good jobs. You know, we got a nice little house here and everything. We're making good money, you know. And they think we're moving because we're not making no money. We ain't got no job. No.
That's not true.
When God is seeing what you would do for him, he's not seeing what you would do for him when you down and out. He's seeing what you would do for him when you got so much going on that you can make a different choice.
Not only that, God provides.
You know what I'm saying?
He sends you out.
So he said, now that everything is going good for them, let me see if they still going to choose to go the route that I put before them. You know what I'm saying? It don't got nothing to do with no job because we had a good job. No, it don't have nothing to do with that at all. You know, and I hear some family members saying, well, maybe she need a job. I got a job. They can do it when they get 2 weeks notice, and they don't want to go crazy on it.
Wow.
I never heard you sound like you sound today with your lips. I never heard that kind of, you know.
Exactly.
Never heard it so.
Well, my lips are so it sounds like what to tomorrow?
We never heard it sound so bad, you know, that it's, you know, bad, worse.
Yeah. That's because my bottom lip is kind of swollen today, and it's been burning for 2 days, so it's right now, like, because I think, you know, I kept looking at her skin going, you think we're doing the right thing? You know, should we just tell them no, put our stuff back in the house, and let's just stay here and weather the storm?
Why would you do that?
Yeah, because your mouth is bothering you there. It could be the trees.
Right.
It could be the heat. You know what I mean?
It's the trees and the heat, trust me. Well, my thing is, you had no idea what we went through in the past 4 days trying to get out of here. It was crazy. And so I told you to choose to stay. He said, leave. The devil is a liar. We out of here.
All right.
I said, okay.
Pastor Stephen.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then I'm saying, I promise you, my nose has never ran as much as it runs now.
Yeah, you're definitely allergic to the place, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good sign.
It's something
it's not
with
a good
the trees
thing.
Or whatever. I don't know what it is, but I believe that this is what God has used because he, you know, he's allowing it to stay there because it was in my mouth. And I'm going, oh, wow. So if this attack is in my mouth, then God could have prevented it, but he didn't. You know, and I went to him like Paul and said, could you remove this thorn from my side? He said, nope. My grace is sufficient. And I'm going, okay, well, can I feel some of the grace right now? Because,
feel some of the grace.
Yeah. You know, and he said, you all feeling it.
That too. Can I feel it?
You know what? It feels like you don't feel a grace. Well, guess what? Imagine if the grace wasn't there and it was 10 times worse.
Oof, girl.
He is keeping some of the pain off of me. He's keeping a lot of the pain off me. And I'm just feeling the part that I can deal with.
Me too. Especially with sciatica.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Sciatica nerve pain. Oh My Lord.
So now I'm looking forward to getting to the other side.
That's the thing. To get to the other
side. We at the crossroads, and we're getting ready to cross over to the other side. That's
Amen.
It.
Mm-hmm. With the grace of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm believing he's already gone ahead of us and prepared a way. And things are going to get, oh, my God, so much better. But I'm really looking forward to all these churches I'm going to be visiting and the things
and
I'm going to.
And you will have a testimony once you are healed.
Yes.
You will have a testimony.
And guess what? Apostle Jackson, she moved her church to North Carolina.
Oh, really?
Wow.
She did?
Oh, mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, she's in North Carolina now.
So you'll be closer to each other.
Yeah.
I'll be closer. And there's some churches in Charlotte that I'll be closer to that are already getting excited about it coming. So
yeah.
I like, oh, I can see God opening doors for the work to get done.
I can't wait to hear your praise report.
Me too.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
You know what? When Sister Nene asked me to minister in dance the other day, and no one knew how I felt about that song, because that song was on my heart. And I said, okay. And then the Holy Ghost woke me up and wanted to say, get up, because you're going to go first.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I know I'm supposed to be second, but you're right. Let me get up. And I got up and came and sat in here and Lady Nadine said, are you ready? Because you're going first.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. And guess what? Even though there was all kind of talking and all kind of stuff going on at the time when I was ministering in dance, the song itself, you know, I knew God said, I didn't give this to you for them. I gave it to you for you. So they were popping in the background and everything.
And, you know,
I said, oh, my God.
Because the more you tell people to mute themselves and they don't listen because they're busy talking instead of doing things. So this is why sometimes. Yeah, first thing you have to
get
up.
And I said, oh, my God, everybody's talking. Well, God, I gave it to you for them. I gave it to you for you. Because, Mother, the song was by Kirk Franklin, Let Me Touch You.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right in the middle of those 4 days when I was going through, me and Steve were going through havoc trying to get out of here. And God, you know, it's one of those, let me touch you and see if you're real.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my God. And it ministered to me. Mm-hmm. It didn't minister to nobody else. And I said, thank you, God. Because I could hear them talking in the background, but I just kept on going.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what you got to do sometimes. Just keep on going.
And
just
so God says,
out.
That's it. You got to recognize when it's just the audience of one.
Yes.
You're ministering before the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. You're doing it as unto the Lord and keep going. That is how I'm going. But I tell you, my heart was in tears when I got off. And I got off, and I went, oh, my God, thank you, Father, you know. And so I told Pastor, and I said, I guess we're going to keep chucking along until we get ready to get out of here in 2 days, and we're going to just ease our way on the cross. We're not in no rush. We're going to ease the cross, even though the job's on the other end. They said, when are you guys going to get in? I'm like, ooh. So we pushed it out to the end of the month because they're ready for us to get there, you know. But I'm saying, okay, cool. Huh?
I said, at least you have jobs lined up. That's excellent.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
It's
yes,
a
ma'am.
Blessing.
And so, you know, and our place won't be ready to the middle of November. That's okay. I told the lady, take your time. We ain't in a rush. We'll be all right. Pick the place up. Do whatever y'all got to do so we can move on in. And then the people are not going to deliver our stuff for 30 days anyway. Because they said, do you want 30 days of storage? We said, yeah, give us the 30 days.
Give us a chance to get there, get situated. We got our clothes that we're going to need to go to work and all that. And we'll be okay. And I'm excited and looking forward to it. And I'm telling you, anybody that gets in my path or gets in my student's path and they start talking negative about the role, all they're going to hear is, or I'm going to say, all they're going to hear is the click.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, click. Talk
That's
to you later.
It. That's right. Mm-hmm. Sorry, got to go.
I don't need no negativity over anything. Because guess what? If there was something wrong, God ain't going to be shaking up doing all this. He's just going to let you know. Ain't no one told you to go there.
Exactly.
You know, what I see him on the other end saying, I'll be right here when you get here. And then, like I said, then he's standing next to you saying, I'm going with you. And then he's behind us going, and I'm right behind you.
God always go ahead of you first.
Yes, he's ahead of us. If he's behind us, we on our way. So thank you guys for letting me answer about that. I had to call Evangelist Hilda the other day. I said, girl, I'm just killing it. But you know what? It was like the more I was packing, I kept sweating. And because I was sweating, my lips was running and it was swelling up. So the heat is taking a toll on me. Because when I sweat and I get hot out here, and I'm going, this is a different kind of heat.
My goodness.
So, you know, but I packed up and everything and I'm going, no, we're going to be fine. It's going to be good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to bless. And all I keep telling myself is, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. I'm going to the promised land, y'all. I'm crossing over.
Crossing over to the promised land.
But anyway, thank you guys for listening, allowing me to get that out. Just want y'all to know because, you know, when we're going across, that's Stephen myself, he's got to drive a vehicle, I got to drive it. That's the part I hate. If we was in the same car, it'd be different. He's got to drive a vehicle, I drive a vehicle, and so we're going to take our time. And then we figure we're not even going to push it. But like 5, 6 o'clock, we're going to shut it down for the night.
Yes.
And then get up the next day and keep going.
That's it. You cannot do that those long hours driving.
No, we're not going to do all that. We're going to drive like 7, 8 hours and call it a day. Like we get at work.
Yep.
Yeah, so, but I tell you what, I'm looking at myself.
Be careful.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you guys for letting us have our testimony time and just to vent and relax and talk about what God is doing and what he has already done. And for all of you out there listening, just know that God is good and laughter is always good.
Amen.
And for those of you that have not gotten a relationship with God, you don't know what you're missing out on. God is patient. He's long-suffering. He's saying, I'm going to give him time to come in because I do not desire to see anybody perish. So all those that want to come in, I'll be right here when they get to me. And he's looking forward to turning your life around and turning your life over to Christ. Father God, I'm a sinner. I confess of my sins. I believe that your son Jesus died on that cross for my sin. Come into my life. I'll make you my Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, he has simplified it so you can say that prayer and then come on in. And every day, don't think it's going to happen all at once. Every day, you're going to see God turning your life around if you let him.
That's right.
He cannot turn if you don't allow the change to take place. He only can do the transformation if you're in agreement with what he's changing, what he's getting rid of, what you have to let go of. That's when you'll see the changes, the transformation, and you'll become more and more and more like him. And I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord has always been our strength, and he is wonderful. He's loving. He's kind. He's merciful. And he's forgiving.
Yes.
So whenever you're ready, you give your life to Christ. And don't wait too long. You know, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. So we want to make that decision while we still have life, health, and strength. God bless you guys. I love you, precious and heavenly Father. Thank you for the time just to exhort you, to lift you up, oh God, to give you praises for the things you've done in all of our lives. How you keep making provisions, oh God. How you keep showing up right at the right time, even with something as simple as the doorbell not ringing and you sending the guy to mail his letter. We know that that was you. And because of your timing, your presence in all of our lives, we can only say hallelujah, glory to the Lord. We praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done, doing, and are going to do even right now. We thank you. We love you, honor, and adore you. Continue to bless every family under the sound of my voice. Lead and guide us in the way you would have us to go. We say thank you. We glorify your holy name. We ask all of these blessings. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda. God bless you guys. Thank you for everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, ladies, have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we shall meet again on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. God's willing, and we're able.
Well, you don't know the mind of the Lord, so you hear what the Lord says.
Amen.
Love you.
Love,
love
you all.
Love you, Mother. Love you, Sister Barbara.
Love you, too.
Love you all.
Have a good day. I'm not going to play any music. I'm just going to close us out.
Okay.